Do you want victory? You can have it in Christ Jesus.
Time once again for Abiding in Christ with Jim Wood.
You have to step back, evaluate the various positions in light of Scripture, and then re-engage with a godly perspective.
Pastor Wood is the founder and executive director of Ware's Valley Ranch, a Christian home and school for kids from crisis situations.
Jesus said, "As the Father has loved me, so I have loved you. Abide in my love."
You can contact the program by calling 866-41-ABIDE or by visiting us on the web at pastorwood.org. And now, here's your host, Jim Wood.
Proverbs chapter 24. The theme is, a wise man has great power. Proverbs chapter 24, this is God's word. Do not envy wicked men. Do not desire their company, for their hearts plot violence, and their lips talk about making trouble. By wisdom a house is built, and through understanding it is established. Through knowledge, its rooms are filled with rare and beautiful treasures. A wise man has great power, and a man of knowledge increases strength. For waging war, you need guidance, and for victory, many advisors. Wisdom is too high for a fool. In the assembly at the gate, he has nothing to say. He who plots evil will be known as a schemer. The schemes of folly are sin, and men detest a mocker. If you falter in times of trouble, how small is your strength? Rescue those being led away to death. Hold back those staggering toward slaughter. If you say, "But we knew nothing about this," does not he who weighs the heart perceive it? Does not he who guards your life know it? Will he not repay each person according to what he has done? Eat honey, my son, for it is good. Honey from the comb is sweet to your taste. Know also that wisdom is sweet to your soul. If you find it, there is a future hope for you, and your hope will not be cut off. Do not lie in wait like an outlaw against a righteous man's house. Do not raid his dwelling place. For though a righteous man falls seven times, he rises again. But the wicked are brought down by calamity. Do not gloat when your enemy falls. When he stumbles, do not let your heart rejoice. Or the Lord will see and disapprove and turn his wrath away from him. Do not fret because of evil men, or be envious of the wicked. For the evil man has no future hope, and the lamp of the wicked will be snuffed out. Fear the Lord and the King, my son, and do not join with the rebellious, for those two will send sudden destruction upon them, and who knows what calamities they can bring. These are also sayings of the wise. To show partiality in judging is not good. Whoever says to the guilty, "You are innocent," peoples will curse him and nations denounce him. But it will go well with those who convict the guilty, and rich blessing will come upon them. An honest answer is like a kiss on the lips. Finish your outdoor work and get your fields ready. After that, build your house. Do not testify against your neighbor without cause or use your lips to deceive. Do not say, "I'll do to him as he has done to me. I'll pay that man back for what he did." I went past the field of the sluggard, past the vineyard of the man who lacks judgment. Thorns had come up everywhere. The ground was covered with weeds, and the stone wall was in ruins. I applied my heart to what I observed and learned a lesson from what I saw. A little sleep, a little slumber, little folding of the hands to rest, and poverty will come on you like a bandit, and scarcity like an armed man. May God add his blessing to this reading from his holy and inspired word.
You're listening to Abiding in Christ with Pastor Jim Wood. Pastor Wood is a popular speaker for family and marriage retreats, conferences, and pro-life fundraisers. If you are planning an event, a retreat, or conference, and would like to invite Pastor Wood to speak or teach, please visit pastorwood.org and fill out our speaker request form. At this site, you will also find over a dozen books authored by Pastor Wood and his wife, Susan. Again, please visit pastorwood.org today. That's pastorwood.org.
To step out of my comfort zone into the realm of the unknown where Jesus is and he's holding out his hand.
Do not envy wicked men. Do not desire their company, for their hearts plot violence and their lips talk about making trouble. Do not envy wicked men. I know you people have probably never encountered anybody who's wicked, but in distant cultures around the world, there are people who do bad things, and they are bad people. What do you think? Is there wickedness in our own country? Is there wickedness in our own community, in every community, no matter where you go? Where does wickedness come from? It comes from the human heart. Apart from God, all of us are wicked and deserve God's wrath. But there are some people who are just really given over to it. You know what I mean? They are, in the biblical sense, wicked men. And Solomon is warning his sons, you need not only to avoid their behavior, but don't envy them. Don't look at what they're doing and think, man, I wish I could do that. Have you ever not done the bad stuff but wished you could? That's what this is talking about. It's talking about an attitude where even though I'm not doing the stuff they're doing, well, I wish I could. I remember as a kid thinking, you know, I'd really like to do that, but what if Jesus came right when I was in the middle of doing that? And that would be bad, so I better not do it. You know what I mean? It took a little while before I began to realize if you wouldn't want to be doing that when Jesus comes, then you ought not to want to be doing that. It's not a really good thing. If we can begin to associate wickedness with what a raunchy, disgusting, bad thing it really is, it begins to lose its appeal. I often cite as my great moment of folly the morning that I was chopping kindling for my fireplace, and I took the end off these two fingers. And that was one of those things that was really stupid on my part. Let me tell you, I've never wished I could do that again. You understand? I don't sit around thinking, oh yeah, man, I'll never forget that. It was so, I was so crazy that day. Boy, you know, I mean, it just makes me want to go right now and get that hatchet and just whack away. No, that's crazy. Why don't I want to do that? Because I see what it ends up in. It ends up in pain and loss. I don't want to go there. Sin yields death. What is it about this equation that's complicated for us to understand? So don't envy the wicked, because the wicked are just a few steps away from disaster. We can look at them when they're in the middle of doing something. Have you ever seen one of those videos where they stop it with the person in midair and you're not sure how they're going to land? Okay? But, I mean, while they're still up in the air, it looks pretty cool. You know, I mean, they're spinning and all this, and it's like, wow. And then sometimes they complete the video and person lands it beautifully and you're like, man, that's impressive. But other times they land on like a railing or a fence or something else and it's like, oh, that was bad. I remember watching the McDonald's All-American pre-Olympic gymnastics competition. And this young woman from somewhere in the Chicago suburbs stood and sized up the course before her, and then she ran, and she hit the, whatever you call the springboard thing, she hit that and was supposed to vault over the little pommel horse type deal. It's not a pommel horse because it doesn't have the handles. You can tell I'm a gymnastics fanatic, boy. But I mean, she goes over the little thing there, the horse, and she does a flip in the air, and she lands right smack on top of her head. I mean, just incredible. I mean, she does this whoop like this, and then boom, and crumples on the mat, and everybody's like, oh, and the announcers are like, oh, and the crowd is like, oh, I mean, it was awful. And they rush out to see if she's okay, and they help her up, and they help her off. And then they showed the replay. And then they showed it again. I mean, it was just so incredible, because if she had been trying to make a perfect headfirst landing, she could not have been. I mean, her form was perfect if she was diving with no arms. I mean, it was just incredible. It was like, how did that happen? So they played it several times, slow-mo, regular speed, I mean, over and over, and each time, oh! So then they go on, they show other people doing their thing, and then they came back and they said, you know, some of you may have missed, but a few minutes ago, so-and-so from Illinois made this run, had a horrible, horrible landing. Thankfully, she's okay, and she is one gutsy young gal. She is coming back to try again. She has the opportunity to try again. She's going to try again. And so she lines up and she looks and says, you know, a moment ago, in case you missed it, here it is. And they played it again. Oh, and now she's lining up. And she runs. And she hits the springboard. She goes over the vault. Boom, right on top of the head. Just, it was just like the replay. It was amazing. And oh, this is awful. Okay? I mean, I was crying. Tears of laughter. I mean, it was horrible. It was painful to watch. I wish I had it on a loop tape. It was just incredible. Oh, golly. Oh, that's just terrible. She did it just, I mean, the second time was just like the first. Well, let me tell you something. You need to understand this. That's what happens with wickedness. It always turns out the same. So don't envy the wicked. I don't wish I was that girl. I didn't watch what happened to her and think, oh man, I wish that was me. I was like, oh, wow, that had to hurt. She's got to be an inch shorter. You know? I mean, it was just terrible. Let me tell you, wickedness doesn't just end an inch shorter. Wickedness doesn't just end with a headache. Wickedness doesn't just make you want to get out of gymnastics. Wickedness always leads to destruction. Always. Inevitably. You can play that tape over and over and over again, and it's always going to come out the same. Wickedness leads to destruction. So don't envy wicked men. Don't desire their company. You know, I'm not going to do this stuff. I'm just going to hang out with them. No. Don't go there. Don't desire their company. Verse 3. By wisdom, a house is built. And through understanding, it is established. Through knowledge, its rooms are filled with rare and beautiful treasures. Do you know what will give you a really wonderful, stable life? Wisdom. Wisdom is what brings good things. So you want to pursue wisdom, which starts with the fear of the Lord. It's all grounded in that. Everything else flows from that. But you need to understand it's wisdom and understanding and knowledge that you're pursuing. Don't pursue the stuff that those things bring. Pursue them. Pursue wisdom. Pursue understanding. Pursue knowledge. And the fruit will be the rare and beautiful treasures. A wise man has great power, and a man of knowledge increases strength, gets stronger. If you will pursue viewing things the way God does, which is what wisdom is all about, it's seeing things from God's perspective, the consequence will be that whatever else comes, you're going to have power and strength, and you're going to get stronger instead of weaker. And so he illustrates that then by saying, for waging war, you need guidance, and for victory, many advisors. Look at verse 10. If you falter in times of trouble, how small is your strength? What's that about? Wisdom will always be tested. Your character will always be tested. And so it's easy to stand for the right when there's nobody pushing in the other direction. The question is, how do you do when things get tough? Jesus talks about those who receive the word and quickly a plant springs up, but it has no root. There's no depth. And as a result, when the sun comes out, the plant withers and fails. If, when testing comes, you fall away, how small is your strength? So the goal here is to put down roots, to really believe it, to really practice it, not just profess it, so that when the test comes, so that when there's opposition, so that when people make fun of you and criticize you. I know a fellow who now is a Christian, but in high school he professed faith in Christ and with tears talked about how he really wanted to follow the Lord. His senior year, he was going to follow the Lord. He went back to high school. His old friends tried to get him to do the stuff that he'd done before. He said no. They said, why? He said, because I want to live for Jesus. They all made fun of him, and he folded up like a cheap tent. He couldn't handle rejection by his peers. He couldn't stand for people to laugh at him instead of with him. And so he totally collapsed and spent years miserably going in the other direction. God in his mercy drew him back, and he's actually in ministry today. But I'll tell you something. You do not want to go down that road. You need to be strong in your conviction. You need to be determined that no matter what anybody else says, no matter what anybody else is doing, I'm going to follow Jesus. Jesus says if you do that, you will get opposition. You will be criticized, mocked, and slanderous things will be said against you. But don't wish you could join the wicked. Don't wish you could hang out with them, because their end is always going to be destruction, and you don't want to go down that road. Verses 11 and 12, rescue those being led away to death. Hold back those staggering toward slaughter. If you say, but we knew nothing about this, does not he who weighs the heart perceive it? In other words, doesn't God know the truth? Does not he who guards your life know it? Will he not repay each person according to what he has done? If you see someone who is headed toward disaster and you just ignore it and don't speak the truth and do what you can to try and point them in the right direction, you will be held accountable. God will hold you accountable. If you say, well, I didn't know. Yes, you did. God knows what you know. You can't fool him. He knows everything about all of us. And he will hold us accountable. Will he not repay each person according to what he has believed? Is that what it says? Nope, that's not what it says. Will he not repay each person according to what he thinks? It's not what it says. It says, will he not repay each person according to what he has done? One of the things that God has brought home to me over the years is, for example, in the area of abortion, when there are millions of children who have been slaughtered in this country through abortion. God is not going to ask me, what did you believe about abortion? God is asking me, what are you going to do about it? What are you going to do about it? Will he not repay each person according to what he has done? And then again, returning to the subject of pursuing wisdom, verse 13. Eat honey, my son, for it is good. Honey from the comb is sweet to your taste. That's my life verse. I have that on a plaque, and I just kind of committed it to memory when I was young. And you know, if people say, what's the most meaningful verse in the Bible for you? Eat honey, my son, for it is good. That's it. You think? No. That's not even the point of the verse. That's an intro to the next verse. He says, you like honey, right?
Yeah, I like honey.
I like honey. Can I have some honey? He says, it's good. Honey's good. But understand that just like honey is sweet to your taste, wisdom is sweet to your soul. If you knew that you could get something sweet over there, you'd want to go. Jim Gaffigan talks about how cake is just this magic draw. People say, you know, Harold's birthday is today. And it's like, why would I care? They say, yo, we're going to have a little party in the break room at 2 o'clock. Oh, well, I don't really like Harold. But there'll be cake. Okay, I'll be there. Okay? I mean, we're just drawn. You want to get a bunch of people to come to a church event? Make it a dessert. People will show. Okay? So if you are attracted by sweets, understand that just as honey is sweet to your taste, wisdom is sweet to your soul. Okay? Your soul will respond with enthusiasm to wisdom as you gain wisdom. As you learn what is right and true and good, something down inside of you will say, man, I needed that. Yes, that's the perspective I've been looking for. Now, things are starting to make sense. I'll never forget when my friend John up in New England came to faith in Jesus Christ. You know what he told me? He said, all my life I've wondered, what's it all about? What's the purpose? Surely we're not just made to get an education so we can get a job and get a job so we can make money and make money so we can have stuff and then we die and that's it? Surely that's not all there is. He said, now I understand what life is about. Now I understand why I'm here and where I'm headed. He said, this changes everything. It does. It does. Wisdom is sweet to your soul. If you find it, there is a future hope for you, and your hope will not be cut off.
Well, that's all we have time for this evening, but I hope you'll tune in tomorrow night as we continue this passage. It is God's Word, every bit of it, and we want to study it with faith in our hearts. So please be sure and tune in tomorrow night.
Abiding in Christ is paid for by the generous donations of listeners like you. We are grateful for gifts of any amount. You can make a donation online at pastorwood.org. That's pastorwood.org.
You've been listening to Abiding in Christ. If you have questions that you'd like for us to tackle on the program or comments you want to make, I want to invite all of you to contact us at 866-41-ABIDE. That's our toll-free number, 866-41-ABIDE. Or contact us on the web at pastorwood.org. That's pastorwood.org. www.wearsvalleyranch.org.